All right, this little guy in the picture, he's experienced what abundance feels like. I know that seems like a lot for a four-year-old, but I know it's true because it's me. I'll tell you more about that later on. That word abundance has been bouncing around in my head all week because it's such a common theme through all four of these scriptures. Remember, the Psalm is a scripture too. So all four of these scriptures talk in some way about abundance. So why don't we agree on a definition of abundance, and then I'll tell you how it relates to this picture and how it relates to these scriptures. So abundant is from a Latin word, abundare. And abundare just means to overflow. So that's important, not just to fill up, not just to have plenty, but to overflow. Abundant means more than enough. You're going to hear that phrase from me several times this evening. Abundant, more than enough. So what about this? Well, I was feeling abundance, and so it made me respond in a certain way. This is at my grandparents' property, one of my favorite places to be in the world. And it's underneath this 52-foot tall windmill, whose name was Wishy, by the way. Thanks for asking. And also one of my favorite places in the world. I asked to have my fourth birthday underneath Wishy. And I asked for one other thing, to have this little metal cooler that you can kind of see behind one of my sisters there, and for my grandparents to fill it up with every kind of soda that they could get their hands on. And what I wanted to be able to do with my four sisters, three of whom were older than me, was to kind of puff up my chest and say, well, what flavor do you want today? You want orange? Here you go. You want raspberry? Here you want root beer? Here you go. And there's more where that came from. Don't be afraid to ask for seconds. I've got plenty here. I was just feeling it. So I was in this wonderful place that I love so much and was responding to it by being as generous as I could. And it's a self-fulfilling thing, that response, that generosity response to abundance. What about in the scriptures? Well, the very first scripture, we've got the letter to, Isaiah, talking about, come to me, all you who are thirsty, and I will give you drink. But not just I will give you drink, but I will give you milk and wine, hopefully not at the same time, but milk and wine. And so, in other words, I'm going to give you more than you need, more than enough. That's abundance. We sang in the psalm about a God who doesn't just feed us, but meets all of our needs. A God who does more than enough for us. The letter to the Romans talked about that there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. In other words, the love of God is so powerful, it's more than enough to tackle any barrier that might get in between ourselves and our God. An abundance, more than enough love than we need. And then, of course, we've got this gospel, a story about in the desert or in this deserted place with very little in the way of resources, seemingly, feeding thousands upon thousands. I'm going to say 10,000 because they said 5,000. And then they said, oh, that's just the men. There were women and children there too. So whatever that is, let's just say there were at least twice as many as the 5,000 men. So let's say 10,000 in the middle of this deserted place with very little to work with. Not only were they all fed 12 wicker baskets full of leftovers, more than enough. This concept just comes up more and more. And so we have to ask ourselves, what was it that happened in that desert, in that deserted place? Was it what sometimes we think of as we're growing up? Or maybe was it something different? And it's really important to think about this because this event is the only one of the miracles or the signs that is in all four Gospels. Not only that, Matthew and Mark tell the story twice with different numbers of people. Six times this exact story essentially is told. So there must be something in it that we're supposed to understand. So let's think about what happened. When the scarcity of food first comes up, the problem first comes up, Jesus basically says to the disciples, feed them yourselves. Maybe kind of prodding them to say, think about this, guys. You don't need me for this. Feed them yourselves. Rather than saying, I'm about to do something pretty cool, see what you can find. No, he says, feed them yourselves. So they go out and they find one little boy who was willing to share what little he had. Not one of these six tellings of the story then has Jesus multiplying the loaves and fish. That word or any word like it doesn't pop up in any one of these six stories. It merely says he took, blessed, broke, and shared, and there was more than enough. Took, blessed, broke, share, and there was an abundance. So what happened here? I have to kind of tip my hat to Father Bill, because as we were talking in our Tuesday staff meeting about these scriptures, it's always very helpful. And Father Bill said, really, is it possible that the miracle that happened here wasn't multiplication, but it was the miracle of generosity? Because when you think about it, these people, Jesus got on a boat to go to this deserted place. They understood where he was going and walked around that body of water, long distances, to intercept him, so to speak. Don't you think some, if not most of them, must have had some supplies with them? This little boy brought five loaves and two fish. Don't you think the adults had some supplies with them? But when the time came and the disciples said, hey, who's got something to share? One stepped forward. Maybe the others were thinking the opposite of an abundance. They were thinking of scarcity. That's the opposite. An abundance is there's more than enough to go around. I can give freely. Scarcity is there may not be enough. So I've got to hold on to what I have right now, because I know what it feels like to be without, and I don't want to be there. I surely can't risk sharing anymore. But there was something about Jesus' words and actions, perhaps. Maybe something about the example of this little boy. Or something about telling people to sit down. Some of the Gospels say Jesus told them to sit down in groups of 50. So maybe there was some intermingling that they hadn't planned on. And through all of this, in some way, these hearts were opened. And there was an abundance. There was more than enough. They trusted that their small contributions would turn into more than enough. And we've talked about this recently. 2 weeks ago, we talked about the yeast and the mustard seed and how these tiny little humble beginnings changed, completely transformed their environment. This concept of things that start small that end up being more than enough. We can do these things. This is something we have to ask ourselves. What have we been given? And where might we have more than enough? Like the little boy, we learn that the little bit that we bring forward in God's hands can be more than enough. And so that's the question for today. Do you believe that you have more than enough in some areas of your life? You might be in need in some areas of your life, and hopefully people will step forward in those areas. But if you do an honest inventory of the things that you have, you have to ask yourself, where might I have more than enough? I'll close with this. Some of the medical journals say that when we do take a risk and reach out to others and meet their needs, that we get this shot of dopamine in our brain, that it kind of fires us up and makes us look for even more opportunities to do the same down the road. Maybe that explains that weird look on that little kid's face.